And we are live.
Yay!
Hi, welcome to a new Spontaneous Conversations. Today we have Stefania, and we're going to talk about different things. I have a few questions, but it's going to be mostly spontaneous, so I will not cheat too much. So, first of all, Stefania, please introduce
Hello.
Yourself.
Say
please
it again.
Introduce yourself. Who
well,
are you?
Who am I? Well, I'm Stefania Papaccioli. I am originally from Italy, from Napoli. I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a traveler, and I am a life lover. That's how I describe myself. If you want to know more, ask out.
Well,
ask
I will definitely be asking. I would like actually to share how we met, because we joined about 7 months ago a mastermind group organized by a Spanish guy who lived in the Netherlands, and the whole group was only Dutch people, which was really interesting for something basically in English and international.
Yeah.
And it was a 6 month program, which was quite interesting, challenging. And aside from the monthly meetings, we also decided to have at least a monthly meeting with just us, the coaches. And we decided to continue this also throughout this year. So I'm sharing this because I feel it's very important to have people with whom you meet at least once a month to discuss where you stand, to discuss the things you have decided to do and how they're evolving, to get support, to have social interaction, especially during these strange times. Mm-hmm. And I myself have been for a little over a year now meeting every Monday evening with a small group of people, and that really got me through the year, because the year was not always that easily. Yeah, okay, great. So you're also doing a weekly thing?
Well, I do a lot of things with different groups. It's very important, I think, to keep your sanity, to especially in these times, to confront yourself with others. So
yes.
I totally agree with what you said. Yeah.
It's inspiring, it's supporting, it gives you a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was complaining this morning, but oh, hearing the others, oh, I'm so lucky, nothing to complain about. I mean, sometimes you just realize that you are just in your own drama story, and then you hear somebody else like, oh, okay. But mainly it's also encouraging to know that you're not the only one in a certain situation, and talking with different people often can give you new ideas. I mean, that was the case for me.
Yeah, new perspective and inputs, inspiration. Yeah, I thought that the meetings we had were very helpful. The group was amazing, supportive. Of course, Nissan Deneta, the founder, our source of inspiration, at least my source of inspiration, many occasions was great. But also the meetings we had with each other were very useful and, enriching, I can say. Yeah.
Yes, they were different because we had more time, we would go more in depth on the person and on the, let's say, the thing behind the thing. So the more on the background, like, okay, what's at the root of your blockage? And that is why I like small group conversations, because you can go deeper. Especially if people are motivated to be there. And actually, I'm seeing that we have 9 people watching at this moment. So, hi, everyone. Feel free to put questions or comments. I will be seeing them on screen, so I can read them out loud and we can answer them. I know for a fact that at least 2 of our group are watching. I got some messages back from the WhatsApp group. So, the reason why I invited you is because...
Yeah, tell me, why did you invite me? I remember very well when you had this idea, but yeah, please.
Yeah, it was a few months ago when I saw a huge shift in your energy. Mm-hmm. And I saw you radiating like an angel. Okay, you also had the kind of light that was there, so it was perfect. It was this whole angelic feeling that I got.
Oh my goodness.
And you had made a shift. And you remember that was November, December? I don't remember exactly which month it was, but we had a call then, and that's when I also suggested.
Yeah.
And that's why also I realized, like, yeah, we need to have a talk, because you sharing how last year you managed to actually get happier, more joyful in a period where most people were really going downhill. So
yeah.
Please share what you did last year and what caused this transformation.
Well, it's a very big question. Let me try.
We have time. We have the time.
But I do realize that I've never felt happier in my life. And there's not one thing that happened that made this shift happen, I think. But, you know, when this pandemic started, we all had a lot of challenges. And I'm an entrepreneur. I work in a tourism business. And for me, it was really like death. Sudden death. Financially, for sure, but also in terms of purpose. I had nothing, absolutely nothing to do anymore. Everything was like dead. And it took me a while to get out of that self-pity kind of attitude, like, oh, poor me, oh, what shall I do, oh my god, this is terrible, oh my god, this problem here and this problem there, I have no money coming in, only expenses. And then I got tired of myself in a way, also because I realized that I was not being myself, and what was happening was I was being influenced by whatever was happening outside, and I had totally no control over it. So I shift inwards, I went within, and I tried to live by my own principles. For example, one of the things I always say is beauty, love, and happiness shine from within. And I keep saying this thing. I have been saying this thing for ages. I'm proud of this thing that I made up, this mantra. And then I was there, totally not living by it. And I'm like, what is this? Why? Why am I doing this? So I tried to find that happiness within. And of course, there's a lot of things that I did. One of the principles I live by is also like, know thyself. The better we know ourselves, the better we can deal with whatever happens to us and the way we react to situations and things. So I did go inside. I did so many things. But one of the things was for sure meditation. I started to meditate again in a different way. And it took a while to get the habit going. I started to take good care of myself in terms of everything, eating, sleeping, social contacts, you know, really trying to deal with every aspect of my life in the best way possible, the way that I know that works for me. I read a lot. I followed a lot of online courses. I of course, I was not having a lot of resources in terms of money, but whatever I had, I invested it in myself. So I, I discovered a lot of things about myself, about my personality, and things that I kind of knew, but I was very much aware of it. For example, how sensitive I am to smell. And I started to have always a good smell at home. I mean, I was gonna stay at home so much. So I thought I should do something that makes me feel good. So I have bought some scents that I put in water, like oil drops. And, you know, something so simple, but it makes me feel good. I started to read more. I started to journal again, which is something I, for a strange reason, stopped doing. Writing down what I think, what happened, or if I'm angry one day or sad. And it's a way, it does channel your energy away from you.
Yes.
If it's negative, definitely. And if it's positive, you, exactly. It's strange how that happens. And you put it on paper. So what I did, for example, was like, well, there was negative, I'll write it on a piece of paper, I'll lose one. And after I wrote it, that, which could have been anything when you're angry at somebody or something or whatever, and then burn it. So it's gone. And the positive things I would write down on my journal, and they're there, still there. And sometimes I do read it again, not very often. I should read it more often, but yeah, all these things. And I started to make sure to have, to meet my friends, to walk. Oh, the walking. I started walking, and I do like walking. I love walking and hiking and everything and being active. But I wasn't doing it very much. So I took up this habit of walking even at home. So this is funny. Whenever I would, I made, I have a path in my home. I think the floor is
you have lights? Like in the airport that you follow the lights?
Kind of. I could do it even with my eyes closed, that's true. So I would do everything while I was walking. Whenever I would call with my family, I have my family in Italy, my sister would say, I'm getting a headache. Can you sit down for a little bit? And I was, you know, talking and walking with the phone in my hand. And
yeah, but then people get seasick because that image is moving all the time.
It's also true that I have a lot of energy. Like I am very, I need to move a lot. I need to do things. I need to do sport. I need to do activities. And if that doesn't happen, I'm very unhappy and you don't want to be around me. So the walking was helping me to use up my energy. So I now walk 15 to 16,000 steps a day. And if I don't do that, I don't feel good. I can skip a day here and there. Like there are days that too rainy outside, or you want to be a little bit lazy, which is fine. So walking helped me a lot. And I also chose the people I wanted to be in touch with. I made a selection of the people I wanted to stay in contact with and the ones that were giving me good energy, vibes, and were positive. And again, we are all in a situation which is very difficult to deal with. And I respect those who are having still problems to accept it and deal with it in the best way possible. But personally, I cannot spend too much time with people who are dragging me down in a way. What you call some people, I think Dandapani calls them the energy vampires, you know. So I'm okay to support a friend in difficulty and to be there for them when they're going through hard times. But I know that those people are just living that. It's a moment. It's like, I'm gonna get over it, and I'm there for them. But those who are just living off that negativity, who need to drag people down together with them, is like, I can't. So
yeah, but that's the old energy. It's like, I feel better if somebody else feels worse than me.
Yeah.
And that's also why you have the bullying, for example, at school or even at work.
True.
And you said a crucial thing. Actually, you said a few interesting things. And one of the last things you just said was, acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first month I didn't accept. I was also pushed by a few people, and one in specific, very much into the fear, going into the fear, so hoarding food and stuff like that, because yeah, shit would hit the fan and there would be nothing left in the city and stuff like that. And yeah, people were really talking about this stuff. Yeah. So supermarkets were getting empty, and then nothing was happening, and I was like, okay, wait. So at least I was smart. I bought stuff that could freeze and dried stuff. So then I had food for months, certain things I didn't need to buy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. And then slowly I started like, okay, what is it that I can do? And I looked at the rules.
Yeah.
I literally looked at the rules like, okay, how can I still get my walk every day? And then a friend of mine, she has the office around the corner and I have the key and she has an online shop. So I was doing the shipments. So I had a paper that was showing that I had the right to go on the street, because we had, from March, we had a real lockdown. Like what you have in the Netherlands in the evening, we had 24/7.
Oof.
To get out, even to go to the shop on the corner of the street, you had to have a paper.
Like in Italy.
So I had a paper that said that I was supporting this company. I also had a paper that said that I was supporting an NGO. So I had regularly a walk for the food distribution,
mm-hmm.
and I had almost daily, at least five times a day, a shipment. And the shipping center is not so far from here, so instead of waiting for the courier to come at an hour that would be inconvenient, I would go, pack, and then have my walk. So I would have every day at least a walk of 1 hour. All legal, except for the first week, because my phone kept deleting the content of the PDF.
Just to keep the sanity, right?
Yeah. Yes, and the streets were empty, there were no cars, so it was fresh air. I live in the city center, so I was like, wow, the air is really fresh. And a friend of mine, he has an app, he was like, yeah, it's green. Normally it's red on the app, the city center, but it's completely green. And the weather was nice, but the parks were closed, so that annoyed me a bit. But then I found a street where people had planted in on the sidewalk beautiful flowers. So I still had the spring sensation. And then after a month or two, they opened the parks again. And then I was really happy because I could still get a real taste of spring. But it started with accepting, like, okay, I could not change the rules, but exactly. How can I use the rules to my advantage? Where do I have still some freedom? How can I still have fun?
Yes.
And actually did a lot of charity work, because while there was lockdown and crisis, I was distributing food by foot, or having somebody who would come by car and we would go together and distribute and stuff. And that gave me a lot of energy, because I was doing something positive.
Yeah.
In times where everyone was like, oh, it's doomsday. Yeah. And what gave me the most energy was the smiles of people when they would get the food, the sad smiles, the energy. They were like, ah, oh, yeah, thank you. Or when I would do half and then somebody would continue and then tell me afterwards, like, oh, yeah, and would share with me the stories. That was, yeah, that gave me energy.
Yeah.
And yeah. I started journaling. And my journaling was on video. So I also started sharing and inspiring other people, like, hey, there's a lot we can do.
Yeah.
Just look at the possibilities. So I started sharing my experiences. And I know that other people also started to do things. I have a friend who started permaculture in our own garden and is now in a Facebook group, and I already asked her to also join on a call.
I had for the first time in my life plants on my balcony and in at home a little bit, but so yeah.
Yeah, I also expand my little garden indoor. I had like 5 plants and now they're like 12, 13, I don't know. I have like 1.5 square meters. They're all pots of different plants together. And the easy way, you eat the avocado and you put the seed half in the water and you will have a green plant that is growing just on water. It's very easy to have some green in your home. It doesn't need much maintenance.
Yeah. I asked a friend who's very good with this thing to help me with the plants on the balcony, and another one to give me some basil, because I love basil. So I had 2 special basil plants. They're different kind of basils.
Nice.
Now that there's different kind of basils, I didn't know. So,
hey, you Italian, you like good food.
And also about the thing, for me, the most difficult one, I cannot say the most difficult part, but the fact that the restaurants were closed was a bummer. Because I love eating out. And also because I never, ever put much energy into learning how to cook properly or bake properly. So I always relied on, I have amazing friends who are great cooks and they like to invite, you know, if somebody can cook, they like to have guests at their table. I was always the first choice for them. And so I found myself being at home, not being able to go out. Well, yeah, you can order in, but not having money coming in. You think like, wait a minute, what can I do? What is in my power? I say, I have two hands. I am Italian. I have Wi-Fi. I can Google anything. So I made a point of learning how to cook the things that I love the most. And believe it or not, it's not Italian food. Excuse me, food. It's Asian food. I love Thai food. I love curries. So I started to experiment with the food in the kitchen and with curries and veggies and whatever. I am the master of curries now. So yeah, I started to bake. I have, you know, if I don't know if my friends are gonna watch this interview, but if they hear me saying that I have a signature banana cake, they're gonna laugh. Mm. They're gonna, yeah, I know. Banana chocolate cake is, and it's gluten free, by the way, because I'm a little bit gluten. So very healthy, delicious. I have one I baked today. Actually.
Can you post the recipe for that in the comments? Because I know that a friend of mine, she eats gluten-free, and I was about to send my recipe, but I still need to translate from Dutch to English for the cookies that I've been baking, because I also was so done with buying crap from the shop, and I started baking in end of November. So also I've been baking a lot of cookies. The first two times was total disaster. And then I was like, okay, why is it not working? And then, hey, wait, apple pie always worked. So why don't I make the same dough as for apple pie, but I make it for cookies? I mean, because I know that one works. So I took the apple pie recipe for the dough, sliced off half of the sugar. And then I started adding things like oat flakes, last time lime seed.
And
then I divide the dough, because in the end I have a bowl like this. So it's really a lot. And then I put grapes in one, I put sunflower seeds in the other, I put almonds, and then I play with the thing. So I have different recipes. Last time I did it, it was like, but I know what I did wrong. So, and it's just, I mean, the recipe is not exact. It's just, oh, it's too humid, I just add some flour. I just play with the thing.
Yes.
But it's very therapeutic.
Me too. For me, it's like this is something so new to me, like to experiment with food and with flavors. And now you should see me in the kitchen now, especially with the banana cake. I change it every time. Every time I add something, I mix different kind of flours, because I will put the recipe. I will post it wherever you tell me to. But I play with it. So I replace every time something, I add something else, and I don't use sugar very much. I prefer maple syrup. I put nuts in it, and one time is the cocoa nut flakes, the other time is dates, the other it's so nice. And then one time I do it with almond flour. And the other time is with, I mix a little bit of oat flour as well. Or did you know that there's a banana flour? There's a banana flour. So I put a little bit of banana flour so that the flavor.
I guess you take dried bananas, you crush them, and you have banana flour, something like that.
Something like that. There's all kind of flour. So I play with it a little bit. And
so that's the thing. The changes and the playing is what brings us the joy, because we have change in our lives. Because the thing of sitting home, or even having this day job, is to go to every day and doing the same thing over again and have your same routines at home, is what dumbs you down, and the diversity, the creativity.
Yes.
That is what makes you alive. That's why I don't like repetitive things. So sometimes I have repetitive tasks as if they're like, for brain, I call it a brain dead operation. Like now I had to sort some papers for the NGO.
To autopilot.
I just spent 4 hours just sorting everything on date. But then I was listening to a video, to a discussion or something like that. And that's okay. But generally I don't like repeating the same tasks over and over. And when you cook, it's the same. So when I make an omelette, I just made one today. It's just like what I'm in the mood to throw in today, or what do I still have? Oh, let's try that thing because last time that didn't work so well, or that worked well, so let's do more of this. So it's the playfulness. And I already see that somebody said delicious.
Very good.
And somebody's asking where I'm staying. Probably it's Eleanor from the Netherlands. She's asking where you're staying. Well, I'm staying in Romania for almost 6 years now. But I used to live in Amsterdam, and I'm definitely gonna go back to Amsterdam as soon as all this craziness is over, and I will come and taste your banana pie.
I'll bake the banana chocolate cake for you. Don't worry.
That's a must.
Yeah, a lot for you. I want to say something about what when you said about you don't like to do repetitive things, and I totally agree with you. And this is, you know, some people need to have this autopilot thing. I can't, you also cannot. But at the same time, in this time, this year, almost a year that just passed, I realized also how important it is to have some rituals, something that you do over and over again, which are supporting. So I accepted to have some rituals, and I, because I know that I cannot do things too much, always the same, always day after day in a repetitive way, I try to do these things, the rituals, to give me some flexibility in it. So if I have a morning ritual, if not every morning at 8 I do this, and then at 8:13 I do this, and no, I give me the morning to do this thing. So I play,
yes.
I play with blocks. Okay.
Yeah, that's a choice. It's not I have to, because I have to is a negative energy. It's what we have at work.
No. But it's like I have pleasure to do this, this, and this. So I find the time to do it, but just not in the right order as every day. So again, it gives me this feeling of I'm not doing exactly the same every day as a robot, but still I do things to support myself. And about acceptance, I also, there's another key thing that helped me throughout the past year, which is awareness. Become aware of everything that happens within myself to whatever happens outside. So
yes.
What am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? What happened? What am I thinking? And, you know, to observe thoughts from afar, like not to be too much influenced, but thoughts which can be very negative at times, so to become aware of everything and maybe sometimes to the extreme, to analyze everything and then to choose the reactions.
Hey, you have plenty of time, so you can analyze into detail.
Absolutely.
And it's exactly what Samira said. She said present, being present. I don't know, she's very much about being in the present, so yeah, she resonates. And we have a very beautiful comment from, I hope I pronounced it correctly, Isa. She says, she doesn't have a question, she just wants to say that Steffi is inspiring. Her inner strength is amazing. And yeah, I fully agree.
I love it.
Thank you for such a beautiful comment. Talking about this, what do you want to say?
I wanted to say something about emotions, because now Aisa is a friend of mine, and I love her to death. And of course, it's nice that she sends me a comment, and I get emotional. And one thing I also realized in the past year that I am totally proud of how emotional I am. I am not hiding ever again when I get emotional. So, yes, I got a wet eyes. It's fine.
Want a tissue?
It's fine. I want the
tears box for you.
And everybody to see them. But I got these are tears of joy. Emotions are, this emotion is joyful. So it's fine. Thank you, Aissa. Love you.
I know the feeling. I have quite a big support group, I must say. And I have thanked the different people many times throughout this year specifically. Because I also went inwards a lot, which was basically what this whole lockdown thing is about. Mm-hmm. It's not about COVID. It's about us being pushed to go inwards, to not be distracted by all the stuff on the outside anymore, or at least less, and take more time for the self and discover who we truly are and actually discover our genius, discover the beautiful things about ourselves. But also find those wounds which are still there, the scars that are there, that are trigger points, and heal them, deal with them. So in the last 3 months of last year, I've been at least in 2 workshops every week, and it was a lot of hard work, but it was so fun. I mean, I got so many insights. I realized so many things about myself. I healed so many wounds, things I didn't realize were there. Just by doing certain simple exercises. And I've been sharing them also with my friends and those that I've been talking to regularly, like, oh, last week I did this thing and this was the effect. So do you want to have the exercise too? And they were like, yeah, give me. And they shared with me, and that's how I kept enrolling in new things. And one of the things was also accepting my emotions. Not hiding them anymore. And also not hiding things I used to be ashamed of, because within society you're supposed to be like this or like that. I was always already a rebellion, but I started to throw out more of these principles. Just, I say what I feel.
Yes.
I say it to your face. I don't care really how you react to it, because if I feel I need to say it, then that's a message I need to give to you. And you can bite off the head of the messenger. Not my problem. You need to get that message so you can deal with something. And generally, I don't remember offending people this year, but maybe once or twice somebody got angry and then later on came back like, actually, you were right. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I wouldn't even remember, because sometimes just throw out things and it's not going through here. It's just soul, mouth, and it is out. And then I hear myself saying like, what did I just say? And then, it's okay.
You know, about this thing about saying what you think every time, and this is something, you know, I'm Italian. I come from a culture where you try to hide the truth and you're always nice to people. And then you go around the corner like, what the hell, that person, blah, 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 and it's gossiping. And I've never been really like that. I didn't like that. And when I came to the Netherlands, I was like, oof, that's fantastic. Like, you can really say what you think and to people, honestly. And you know, you Dutch refer to this as being direct. So say exactly in the face of somebody.
Yeah, to a certain extent, because so, they can also be very sensitive sometimes.
Yeah. I believe you do. You are. But to me, it's more like, I see it more like honesty. Honesty to yourself first, to say what you think. But of course, I don't always say it. Like, let's put it this way. If it's worth it, I do say it. So it depends who I'm with. If it's like somebody I care about, if it's like a point I really want to make about, you know, I need to say this, because if I don't, I'm kindly of agreeing with what's been said here, and that's not fine.
Yes. I know what you mean.
But in certain occasion, you know, when you're in very superficial conversations with people and you don't really know, and they say something and you don't, you know, it's, I'm like, laat maar in Dutch. It's like,
let it be. Yeah. I have this filter now that I actually feel. I mean, first I had to ask myself, but now I can feel like, is this for me to know what comes up, or is it for me to say?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I developed that, I think, in the past 2 years. Because at first things would just come to me and I would just say, and then sometimes I realized people are not ready for it. But I had to see it to know which direction I had to steer a conversation, for example, or even in coaching sessions, I have that I can see, and sometimes I see the bigger picture, because I have a gift, which is seeing the higher potential of somebody. And when I first started seeing that, I would be very frustrated and disappointed, because like, what the fuck are you doing? Come on. And then I realized like, oh, wait, I've seen the potential, but it doesn't mean the person is there. The person is still growing. He's not there yet. So relax. And now I can see the difference between that. But then I can share sometimes like, hey, keep going, because I can see that potential there. And for people to hear that, then they get inspired, like, wow, somebody really sees what I can. Okay, I will keep going. And that's also something that happened a lot this year.
Yeah, there's also something else that I realized, not just because of the pandemic, but even before, I was busy with becoming wiser, talking about wisdom, is that sometimes not saying something has even a better effect than saying it, because then you give the time and space to the person there to realize. Yes. Yeah. That what they did or said is maybe not really the best. And
it's that filter that you have in you which guides you, like, say the, or just no. Yeah. And don't say. And I'm sense, not, I'm what not, do they need now?
But I'm not talking about just don't say anything and say something else instead. No, I'm talking about really like shutting up. Like, even when you're asked, like, what do you think about it? And I'm like, I'm not saying anything about this. And that speaks even more to that person. And then it has happened to me a few times that person, when I did not say what I was thinking, and I did not say anything as a replacement, I just said, I don't want to talk about this. That person came back to me later on and said, I thought about it, about what I said, what happened, and sorry, or whatever. You
gave them space to... Yeah. Travel their own journey and get with themselves to realize what they need to realize. Yes.
I also had to think about something, because before you were talking about, you know, all these courses that you did in the past year, where you finally accepted your emotions and everything and your flaws, right? I mean, that's acceptance. I also, I know that I look perfect, but I have a lot of imperfections. No. But we all have imperfections, we all have flaws, and we all have a lot of issues. And
I mean, are there really flaws, or are they just life lessons to be learned? I don't think they're really flaws, they're just life lessons we haven't learned yet.
That's exactly what I want to say, because you were talking about healing those wounds, and I took this time. I finally, actually, this is like an early retirement for me. Yeah, it's without money, but it's fine.
It's a sabbatical.
Sorry? It's a sabbatical. Exactly, exactly. So I thought a lot about this thing, about like all those wounds, and you know, you heal them, but you will have, let's say, scars. And then I have to think about, what is it? There's a Japanese practice called, Kintsugi?
Yes.
This art of repairing a broken pottery to put back pieces together using gold or silver or platinum. And then, so you have the pot, the pottery.
The repaired one is worth more than the original.
Voila. So basically, all these broken lines, which are filled with precious material like gold or silver or platinum, makes this object even more precious, more beautiful. And that's exactly what happens with us human beings. And like, our flaws, our scars are made of gold if you learn from them, if you improve because of them. And I'm fascinated by a lot of cultures, actually, but Japanese in particular. I had, as one of my on my bucket list of places to visit, I wanted to go to Japan this year in April. I don't know, maybe it might still happen, who knows, but I think that Japanese philosophy is sometimes like so fascinating. they also have this idea that to embrace and accept imperfections and flaws. And this is actually what I've been doing until now with myself and with whatever is happening also around us. It's what's happening now is a flaw in the system. It's an imperfection, and we will get better after if we can deal with this in the best way possible. And I think a lot of people are doing it. We will get better afterwards. So
let's, it doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
Yes, let's treasure this experience. That's exactly what you said. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's all.
Yeah, and the flaws. I remember in one of my last job interviews, they asked me about my flaws, and I said impatience. And I said, but it's also a strength. So because people often see a flaw as something bad, but it's just what society labels it.
Yes.
But something that is not according to the general rule is an exception. So I would not call it a flaw. I would call it different, because me being impatient, having less patience than others, would result in me pushing certain people to do their job faster. Yeah. So it was improving efficiency and productivity. But also efficiency in a sense. Oh, yeah. And I said that I was lazy. Actually, in one of my last jobs, I literally said in the job interview, I'm lazy. But that is why I will set up everything in the most efficient possible way, so that I have less to do. And even if I'm not there, the system is still running. And that was the reason I was hired, even. The HR lady was like, what? And I looked at her like, he's going to hire me. And he was like, oh, I like this. You're hired.
But you know, you call it laziness. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I cannot sit still. I'm anything lazy. But I used to call myself lazy because I want to be efficient in the time and energy and space that I use with everything. So
yeah, but they want to hear a flaw. So I call it lazy, but actually it's efficiency. So I gave them first what they wanted, and then I turned it around and then saw, like, wow, this flaw is actually another strong point.
Yeah.
And that's with a lot of things that we have. Most of our flaws, they lead to something good. Yeah. Just like you call the crisis and the situation now a flaw, but look what it led to for so many of us. All this inner growth, I finally reached my inner peace this year, like really feeling inner peace. Well, there was enough to stress about, but I just stayed very calm. Was like, no, not gonna stress about it, because why would I? And not just from the mind, but really feeling that peace. Because already for years I was training myself on, like, stressing is useless, it's a waste of energy, and when the moment comes to actually act, I will not have energy left to act accordingly, so I should not stress. But it was more like, I should not stress. And now it's just like, I'm fine. And if something is not going, I'm like, there must be really good reason for it. So I will see it soon enough.
Yes. And I have to be honest with you. You know, when we started this conversation about being happy, feeling happy, and I keep saying I have never been happier. And also one thing that I keep saying also to my friends is, I can count my blessings. It's like, you know, when you are in such a situation and you think you have a lot of problems, oh my God, this and that, and I'm like, wait a minute, but there's a lot of things which are good. And then the moment you tune onto a more, let's say, supportive approach to whatever is happening to you, and you start seeing also the good things, you also attract what you want. And this past year, I am doing things that I've always wanted to do, but I couldn't make that happen before for a strange reason. I give you an example. I started to teach English to Italians, and I love teaching. I love learning languages and speaking languages and teaching them, and especially to Italians. I'm like, I live now in the Netherlands, and I'm doing other things, and I miss that teaching part in my life. And now,
why Italians?
Huh?
Why specifically for Italians?
Because I am Italian, so I know their struggles, and because I have an Italian accent, and I can do that. So I really want to, you know, I realize, because I'm counting my blessing, I see a lot of my friends in Italy always says, oh, how can you do that? How can you? And I'm like, there's one thing you have to start with, that's speaking English. That's all. So once you can speak English, then you can go abroad, you can do whatever you want. Is that, if that's your dream, just start by doing that. And this is something you have to do. So anyway, that's what I'm doing now. I'm very, very happy. Another thing, this is something really unbelievable. Before I, before the whole pandemic started, it was like November, last time, yes, I had this idea, this dream of moving to Portugal. I wanted to go to Portugal. I went there, I started to learn Portuguese and everything. And my dream was to start, because I work in the tourism business and I have accommodations in East Africa, and I had many in Italy in the past and here in Amsterdam, and now everything is kind of still in East Africa. Now it's getting better again. And my dream was...
You can find the links in the description, by the way.
Yeah, good.
I don't know if it's visible on Facebook, but on YouTube, for sure, you have all the links.
Fantastic. So my dream was to start a business in Portugal. And I had, believe me, I almost was at the point of only signing up for something. I cannot talk about it, but because, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Confidentiality, right? For now, but you were very close.
Yes, and no, but at the time in November 2018 was that, eh? So sorry,
2019.
Before the pandemic, I had seen properties. I was gonna move from Amsterdam to Portugal, and then I came back here, and there was something telling me, like, this is not. There's something I felt very good, happy in my house, in my home here in Amsterdam. And I said, like, why did I decide I wanted to go to Portugal? Like, you know, like all of a sudden I started questioning myself, which is something that if I decide something like this, I'm talking about like selling, buying and moving. This is a big decision. It's something you don't decide just like that. I was pretty sure about it, but all of a sudden, no, I'm not doing this. And then the pandemic started. And that was a blessing that I didn't. Okay. So it's good that I didn't go through, because otherwise it would have been very hard for me. I would have had less money than now, because I would have spent and invested in something that wasn't going to give me any fruit, anything. And being in another city, in another place where I don't know anyone, and it would have been a bigger struggle, I think. So I didn't do that. And now something appears. There's this friend of mine who has this project of starting a guest house in Portugal. And he asked me to help him. I'm like, hey, yes. Portugal is coming to me.
Yes.
So it's like
everything. Now that you're really ready for it.
Exactly. Yes. Everything flows. And yeah, this is still a project in the making, of course. But my passion is to share my passions with everybody, especially the traveling part, the places I love and the local cultures, the languages, the whatever. So now that I can add Portugal, I can share Portugal with others in the future, it's just big excitement.
Yes.
So, yeah. Thank you, pandemic. I'm like, sorry, it sounds a bit silly. Some people might...
No.
Happy to hear that, but
I don't care what people think about it. I mean, if they don't get it, they will get it. But I guess that most people are watching now, they like, yes. I mean, I would say after watching this, for everyone, just take a moment and look back at last year as an exercise and write down what are the things you've learned during that year. And what have you learned from the year? So like skills and new things you learned to do because you had to adapt, but also what have you learned from the year? Mm-hmm. And that will be an interesting list. And then you start counting your blessings. I mean, for me, it has been my best year till now. And I've had some really good years. I've had some horrible years also, but I really had some very good years where everything was going, we say in Dutch, for the wind. Like the wind was in my sail, in my big sails, and I was going. But the feeling I got inside was never like what I had last year and what I'm having now. That really feeling of abundance, of bliss.
Yes.
And it's a big player is the inner peace.
Yeah, inner peace, you're absolutely.
Because yes, in those years that I was really happy, I had a lot of good stuff on the outside, but it was still messy on the inside because I hadn't accepted myself. I was still ashamed of things or wanna be or trying to be like somebody. And I guess that is what I've been seeing around me, actually. I mean, I was chatting with a few friends today as I sent them the link for the live today. And yeah, there were already some short discussions, but the feedback is always the same, is that, yes, they're reaching this new level of understanding themselves, of inner peace, of acceptance, of self-love, self-appreciation. And I get so happy when I hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to celebrate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the most beautiful thing you can experience.
Yes.
I mean, you can win the lottery, you can get that new house or car, but that real transformation within you, as long as you don't have that, then all those things are just things. Yes. And yes, you will be happy for a day or maybe for a week or a month, but it will fade away because nothing on the outside lasts forever. But what you've learned stays.
Yeah. I totally agree with you with this inner peace feeling that I gained, which in 48 years of my life I haven't. Now I can really, you know, being aware also what is it that makes me happy, and it's definitely not money, but whatever I really believe in, and the people I care about, and you know, my family, my friends, my also for me was a struggle in the beginning, like when everything fell and faded away, like. Especially work with, you know, again, tourism and everything. For me, traveling is who I am. And all of a sudden, it was not there anymore. And what I do is like, I want people to enjoy traveling, and this is not possible anymore. Like, what is my purpose in life? What am I doing? But now I know why I love traveling so much, why I want to share with everybody my love for cultures and places. And you know, the joy that it brings to me is it's something that we all need to explore. We all need to dive into whatever is different from ourselves in order to grow and expand our horizons. And traveling is what offers you this. And now I know. Before I was just doing it. Oh my God, I'm sorry. But I just wasn't aware of it, and this going inwards gave me the opportunity to really understand what makes me happy, and yeah, it's again a blessing. I count my blessing also nowadays with whatever has happened. I can't complain. And as long, of course, you know, I'm not denying whatever is happening around us. And I'm aware of it is, there's a lot of people who are suffering and passed away. And it's something, you know, yeah, it's dreadful.
Well,
but again,
you say the suffering, you name the suffering, because I made the choice to make a change in this. So struggle is different from suffering. Struggle is what happens when things change. Then we struggle to adapt. But suffering is a choice, at least for me and for more and more people that I'm talking about this with. They say, yeah, we can choose not to suffer anymore.
I don't agree with you on this for one reason. I'm talking about the people who are suffering in the hospital with that is something that we cannot deny.
Yeah, okay, that's a physical, but also when things collapse around you, we can suffer, but that's going into the victimhood, which is okay, but at a certain moment we need to actually instigate change. We need to step out of that, because if we keep complaining that and blaming somebody else or the outside world for what's not convenient, then nothing will change. But us taking action to say, okay, I mean, for me, freedom is essential in my life. And so the first lockdown was like, but then I found my way to find my freedom again, to be free in, okay, within certain parameters, but I found my freedom. And that was a choice. I could have stayed home, like a lot of people did that for a while, that they were really complaining and complaining and complaining all the time. And now with most of my friends, when we talk about COVID, we are just mentioning like, what is the craziest stuff that's happening now on your side? And we laugh about it because we see how crazy things are, how contradicting things are, how one country is going this way and the other country is going that way, and we just laugh about it. And then we move on to other things. But we're not staying anymore in the, oh, I love this, I love that, because I got hit hard financially, very hard. 1 month before the lockdown, everything went really like this, but like enormously up. And I mean, I was going to have an amazing year financially. And then, boom. So yeah, of course I was really upset at first, but yeah, I turned it around. Yeah.
Talking about, you know, what you learn in this, you know, the lessons learned, and this is something I told you, the first principle I live by is know yourself. Know thyself, as they say the Greek. And I don't remember when we started the conversation, I had something here in my bag and I took it away. I want to show it too.
Yeah, I just want to say show it.
Yeah, so this is the three Delphic maxims that were on the temple of Apollo for the Greeks. So
first,
know thyself, nothing in excess, and then surety brings ruin. What you was talking about, like I was gonna have an amazing year financially. You don't wanna know, I had already considered having in the pocket, but they're all the book, you know, in the tourism business, you have bookings already from
yes.
So you already know how much money, more or less. Of course, you calculate a percentage of something going wrong or even better. So I had already I considered having that money already, like same for you, right? So I was sure that was gonna be the best year ever. And after that, my idea was it was a way to close a chapter of my life and pressure on that and then go on to other things.
Yes.
Poof, all gone. And you know, it's true, surety brings ruin. Like you cannot be so sure of something because nothing is sure. And I remember this sentence when I went to school, to high school in Naples. There was I don't know who it was, the guardian, I don't know, a man who used to work in the school, and his name was Stefano. I will never forget, a very nice man, and we were all young students, and he was very wise, and he always told us only that death is sure. You can only be sure of death. And it's true. And if you accept that, because that is a fact, it's fine. The rest, nothing is sure. And I'm like, yeah, this is the best lesson I could learn. in the past year. It's true.
And death is not the end. Death is just a transition to another state. So it's just a physical death.
Whatever people believe in, you know, we all have different opinions.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's my belief.
Yes. I also think that we are energy and the energy transforms anyway after death. But, you know, accepting death as a fact, a truth, is essential to live as good as possible.
Because and letting go of these.
Where I am now?
Give you the freedom.
Yeah, where I am now, right now, is this is only this lifetime. Yes. So when I'm dead, whatever I will be, whatever will be, I'm not sure of, I don't know. But until I die, I want to make sure that I live the best way possible for me. And
that's why the present is so important.
Not being sure of anything.
Yes, but that's why the present is so important. When you let go of, but in 10 years from now, I need to be ready for that and that and that, for example, I'm like, why stress about that? Yes, you can prepare certain things, but being so focused, and that's what a lot of people do. They're like, okay, I'm here now, so I have the coming 20 years need to do this because my kids need to go to school and graduate or whatever, and I need to prepare for my pension and blah, blah, blah. So people plan their lives like one big struggle, but then after I retire, then I will enjoy. And then one of my closest friends, he lived like, not fully like this, but the last few years was living like this. And then what happened? A few months after retirement, he died. So he didn't get to move to Greece what he wanted. He didn't fully enjoy his life the last few years. Because it was so focused on, but then the government would increase the age of retirement by a month or so, and then he was completely upset about it. It was like, come on, man, 1 month, what does it matter? You anyway, you close. I mean, it was like 2 years and became 2 years and 1 month. I was like, relax. And he didn't have the balls to move to Greece because he tried it many years before and it didn't work out, but then he didn't fully move. He kept his home in the Netherlands, so he still had his mortgage and everything, so he needed to pay for that. So he didn't really make the step. He went like with one foot in only. And the reason I managed to survive here is because I went both feet. Yes, I took risks, a lot of risks, and some of my previous friends called me insane for doing that.
Let's not even go there. I'm the crazy. Among my friends.
Yeah, but they're not my friends anymore. And those who are still my friends, they are friends for a reason, because they're the ones who said, wow, this is really scary, but good luck. And I'm amazed by your courage. Go for it. I wouldn't have the balls to do it, but I'm behind you. And that's a different approach. One is the approach from fear-based living, and the other is love-based living. And trusting. And that's something I had to learn the hard way throughout my life. And in the past few years, I really had to get there. And that's why I also got that inner peace. And part of the inner peace is trusting that you will have what you need to have when you need to have it. And you will be where you need to be when you need to be there. That's the divine timing, we call it.
Yeah. You know, some people talk a lot about, you also talk a lot about confidence, and being confident. I mean, you can be confident with your own, like, who you are and your talents and your skills, and to the extreme of becoming arrogant. But confidence, I see it also confidence in life, hope, as,
and
you know.
In here.
Yeah, like, to be confident that it's going to get better the way you want it, because as long as you work hard for something, and I'm not talking efficiently hard, you know exactly what I mean, it's going to happen. And so being confident, being hopeful is essential to live better. There's one thing I remember when I've been a teacher for many times before I was an entrepreneur, and when the parents came to me, I have to.
I'm checking the comments. Thank you for those who are putting beautiful comments. Also, feel free to put some questions. Stefania will be back with us in a minute.
I'm looking after the dog of a friend.
It's okay. No, so, I took the moment to say something to the people so they can put comments and questions. And somebody put Anna, I think it's a friend of yours, Gatanera. She said, Stefania is a Wonder Woman.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Oh, I love you, Anna. Thank you so much. But so what I wanted to say is that when the parents came to talk to me, there's one thing I always told them, because they say, how is it going? You know, the child, how is it going? How is she going? Is it good? Is it starting? Is it able to do things? I'm like, you know, it's not important exactly what he can do, because he can always learn. But what's important is that he believes that he will be able to, that he's able, capable of. So you have, as a parent, to, and we as teachers, instill in them the confidence that they can do it. So as long as they believe they can do something, it's essential.
I recognize. You have a wooden floor, right? I can hear the dog.
Yes.
I had to say once on a video that the dog kept walking and he kept hearing this thing, and I was like, shit, sit down.
Sorry. So,
wil je nog naar Amsterdam?
I'm sorry. So, Lotfi, I have to go now. Because I also, my friend Aisa, by the way, who sent the message before, I made the cake for her. And yeah, so my friend is to give me a lift to her house. And, you know, we have curfew here, so we have to do it within a certain time.
That's okay.
So I really enjoyed.
I will keep the few questions I still had, because I had a few questions written down. Also, due to what you said, we'll just do another live another time. I feel there is a lot that we still have to discuss. Now, I want to thank you for your openness, your open-heartedness, and for dedicating your time to share with everyone, because a lot of people have been watching, and I know a lot of people will be watching the replay. So, big thank you.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for this opportunity. I didn't think it was going to be bad, but I didn't expect to be so good also to have this nice talk with you. I know you already.
I knew it already. I did expect it, but I felt it. I was like, it's going to be great. That's the intention I put. I don't put the expectation, but I always put the intention, and then things just happen. And people can still put questions in the comments, because you and I, we can still answer them afterwards as well. So.
I'd be happy to have a second conversation with you. Just let me know. I want to thank also everybody for watching it and listening. And I'm happy, if there's any question, be happy to answer.
Super. So the links are in the description for where they can find you, your holiday homes, and they can contact you if they want to learn English, if you're Italian. If you're not Italian,
I watch this interview to my students to practice their English. So we'll see.
Yes.
We will go the advertisement part another time. I'm not in a home.
Good. Thanks a lot, and have a beautiful evening.
And you.
And everyone, thank you for watching.
Thanks, everybody. Ciao, ciao.